Well, hello and welcome to the 6:45 pod, to the final episode.
The final one.
I'm Simon. I don't work here anymore, but I am recording this on my very last day here.
And I'm Anton. I am Simon's trainer for about 5 more hours or so.
Yeah.
And I'm the minister for 6:45 for, by the time this episode drops, just a few more days.
So. Yeah, so we are both out of here, and so we're recording a final episode to say goodbye, to reflect, and to, yeah, mostly to say goodbye.
Yeah, this has been a podcast to help you grow in Christ.
It's true, we should do some of our regular introduction.
Yeah, particularly for the 6:45 community, but for wider as well. Who knows, there may be other 6:45 episodes that come from... future Simon and future Anton, not us, but
who knows, someone might be brave enough to try and do this again.
But yes, for now, this is the last one with Simon and me.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So, 6:45 pod, final episode, bit of reminiscing going on. Take us right back to the start, Simon. What was going on at the start of when we launched this podcast and why we did it? What was it for?
Yeah, I remember it was, I feel like it was a vague idea that I had of like, I feel like this could be something fun. Anton and I have a weird dynamic. I feel like that would be entertaining to put on a recording.
We'll let you be the judge of that.
And I just thought, it was when we were shutting everything down for church, and I thought maybe this could be a new and creative avenue for us to encourage 6:45 and anyone else who listens in their faith in a weird year, in a year where we would be quite absent, I guess, from people's lives when we would normally see them every week on Sundays.
Yeah.
And so I flagged the idea with Nigel. I was like, Nigel, why don't we do a 6:45 pod?
Nigel's our senior minister, if you're tuning in from afar. Yeah.
And he got very excited about the idea. He said he'd do it if Anton said no. So I flagged it with you, and I feel like you were a little bit uncertain about how it would go at the start.
Well, it's more like, oh, everyone's doing podcasts now that we're being locked down. But I had, in the back of my mind, I had thought, you know, I'd been at Christchurch for, you know, this is my 9 years at the end of this year, end of 2020. And I thought, oh, maybe I should do a podcast or something just to get down definitively a lot of the teaching and learning of pastoring young adults that I've gained, you know, get it all down with some of the big themes. So I thought, you know, did a series on work a few years back.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the episodes. And we've done episodes on some deep doctrines as well that I've studied over the years, or thinking about relationships and friendships and things like that.
Yeah.
Which are kind of some of the classic young adult things that I've tried to be, you know, hear what the Bible says about it and be pastorally helpful in those situations. So I was initially hesitant, but I thought, no, actually this could be great and a great way to pastor people during a pandemic.
Yeah. And I think it has been really nice to kind of set down these different topics. You know, we kind of, we preach very expositorially, at Christchurch.
Through books of the Bible.
Through books. And so we kind of have the opportunity as topics come up to deal with them.
Yeah.
But it's been really nice to kind of go, what are common topics that we've dealt with? What are things that we think will be really helpful for people, and to kind of actually just sit down and work through them over our episodes. I found it really helpful and encouraging, and hopefully it's been really helpful for you to kind of have these episodes as kind of little encapsulations of these different topics and issues that we kind of often touch on but don't necessarily have the time to deal with in depth.
Yeah, so if you are leading a growth group, for example, and someone says, inevitably will say, so how come there's predestination?
Yeah.
How can God be in charge of all things but we have any say about anything? You can go, ah, well, let me refresh myself on the 6:45 pod episode.
Yeah, and so that's our hope, that this will be helpful to you even into the future when both of us are gone from Christchurch. This might still be a resource that will be useful and edifying and encouraging for people to come and learn and understand things better.
Yeah. So, Simon, this is being recorded on your last day at Christchurch, and thankfully you're not an emotional person at all.
Oh,
so
no,
you're,
not
this
at
is
all.
A breeze for you.
Yeah. At least this is just an audio medium, so Anton will be the only person who sees me cry if
right.
I cry.
That's right. And it's been a big lead up. Obviously, we've had over Christmas, we have not had people in the building, so it's been a weird time to wrap up for you, which is really sad without lots of people to be able to do that with. But you've been here 28 years correct. Of your life, which is of
all
28
of the years,
years
of my 100% of the years of my life
at Christchurch. Yep, and you've been doing MTS, the ministry training strategy, being an apprentice minister for the last 2 years. So working with me and with the staff team on lots of ministry stuff over the last couple of years. What as you look, you know, as you think on your last day, what's been some of the things that stick in your mind about your time at Christchurch or MTS?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny to think about. You know, my grandfather used to be a minister here, so I have childhood memories of having Saturday dinners at what is now Josh's share house, or running around the empty auditorium and playing the drums. And
all kids do that.
Whatever. Yeah. And, you know, I was actually learning the drums, so I would come to practice.
Okay.
I was in year two learning drums. I was terrible. That's why I dropped it. But, I have right back into my earliest memories, me hanging around at Christchurch and doing things. So it's very weird to think about leaving. Some highlights from here. I mean, I really started growth group leading here, and I did that, I think I started like 6 years ago.
That's a long time.
Just a long time in 645 years.
Yeah, it is true. That's true.
And I remember that being a really great joy of actually getting to see people grow and play a part in helping people understand the Bible. And what a beautiful moment it is when you see someone understand a passage, when you see kind of a light go on in their head and something makes sense to them for the first time.
Oh, gotta love that light bulb moment.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, grace.
Yeah.
Or something, you know?
Yeah. That's been a real great joy to play a part in that and to be involved in people's lives in that way. I guess, you know, this church has been the largest part of my spiritual growth as well. It's played a big part in who I am now as a person. And so it's, wonderful to reflect and give thanks. I guess also you've been a little bit of a highlight, Anton. You know, you've been my minister for 9 years. We've been meeting up for nearly 5 years now. Mm. And then you've been my trainer for the last two. So it's a pretty significant portion of my life that you have been a large part of it.
Yeah.
I think I calculated the statistics the other day. We were looking at the sermon archive, and I kind of just had a look at all the Anton Marquez sermons and just kind of tallied up the hours. And it's something like I've listened to you preach for over 100 hours over the last 9 years, which is a lot.
That is a lot.
It's many hours.
Whoa. Yes.
I mean, they say 10,000 hours is how to be an expert, but I feel like I do know your sermon style quite well by now.
You're an Anton sermon expert. Yeah, fair enough.
So I'm super thankful for you, Anton, and your ministry to me. You've had a big impact on my life, and, you know, it's probably really mostly your fault that I'm going into ministry now. So, you can blame Anton for that one.
or thank him.
Yeah. Yeah, blame or thank. We'll see how things go.
That's right.
I am very thankful for you and the impact you've had on my life across this. And it's nice to put that down in a recording and have it on the internet forever.
Very nice of you, Simon. Thank you. Yeah.
So what about you, Anton? Now we're talking about you. You've been here as a minister for 9 years. I assume you don't have childhood memories of running around the auditorium. But
I didn't go to church when I was a child.
What are some of your reflections and memories and highlights?
Yeah, it's weird looking back over a long time, and particularly a lot of people who are in 645 now weren't in 645 when I came. And so it's strange looking back beyond most people's lifespan at 645. But I've had a great time. So this is my first assistant minister job after leaving more college. And so it's certainly been a place where I've grown to understand what ministry is about and how to help people grow in faith and how to be organized, you know, work as a staff team to help build wholehearted disciples. And I've had been so many different experiences from from a whole range of different things. Some highlights for me, I particularly look back with fondness with the year 12 trips that I've gone on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening from not from Christchurch, we do it a bit fancy pants. I've been to Fiji and Vanuatu and Gerringong, which was...
That's the fanciest of
that
all.
That was fanciest of all. But all of those times were just great to get to know people. And so you get to know the year 12s who are about to join us at 6:45 and to be there at a really transitional part of their lives, just finishing the HSC, moving into adulthood and doing difficult things together, like coping with Fiji time or with warring tribes in Vanuatu, or, you know, warring of words, tribes in Vanuatu, some things that were hard as well as things that were fun. They were really great. I've loved being part of lots of growth group leaders' lives. So our growth groups are where we do a lot of our discipleship, where people hear the word of God and discuss it together and then seek to live it out together. And so to have the privilege of meeting up with lots of growth group leaders and community leaders over them to really help them work hard at building disciples in their groups, that's a real privilege. And I've got a special place in my heart for a lot of those leaders. And also for the staff team over the years, with a bigger church, staff do come and go fairly frequently. And so, you know, for me being here 9 years, you know, I'm the longest current minister. You know, I've been here the longest out of all the current ministry staff. And so that's so a lot of people have come and gone, obviously.
Yeah.
And so to learn a lot from different staff members who've been either different to me or even similar to me and how to work in a team and to be equipped in doing that that's been a real privilege, even through some of the hard things that we've gone through, to the point where I'm ready and looking forward to stepping up to be a senior minister in 2021. I'm just so thankful for all the experience I've had in seeing others do ministry and others lead in ministry. That'll speak into most likely how I'll do ministry. I'm thankful for the guy sitting next to me. This pod would not have happened without him. He's done all the editing for it, which is really, I'm really thankful for that.
lots of cutting out some of your pauses and
totally
us making mistakes.
Yeah.
And I've had some laughs doing it.
Oh, good. I'm glad it's been slightly worthwhile. But also, I've worked most closely with you than almost anyone else over the last 2 years in particular on MTS. And it's been a real privilege to see you grow as a minister of the gospel and as a disciple of Jesus. So, let's get all schmaltzy and thank you so much.
Oh, stop crying, Anton.
Anyway, it's been a great time and I will miss all the 6:45ers immensely. Like even with all the year 12s from 2020 entering 6:45s, like, oh, you guys are great, but I'm not going to be able to see you grow in the faith and see, you know, you step up and lead and things like that. It's like, oh, that's a bit of a shame. Lots of new people too. It's like, oh, I'd love to get to know you better, but it's my time to move on.
Yeah. I think when you reflect, you really notice how important people are in ministry, like how they're really the ones that you think about when you leave and how, what a privilege it is about the different lives that you get to be involved in and the impact you have on other people. It's kind of, it's lovely to add an ending, to be able to stop and reflect and think about all the people that you've been able to help care and support and be thankful to God for those things.
Yeah, that's right. And in terms of Jesus, because that's why we're in ministry and that's what we're living for. What's one thing, Simon, that you have grown in your other appreciation of Jesus or your insight into the knowledge of God? What's something that's you've been reflecting on recently?
I mean, there are a lot of things that I've learned and grown over the last few years, doing theological study and working here and, all the different ways I've learned and grown. I think particularly in this last year, I've really been growing in my appreciation of what it looks like to actually put God in control of your life and be okay with that and to accept plans being messed up. I think, you know, everyone's experienced that with COVID and the mess that this has been. And, you know, this year has been none of the things that I thought it would be. And there's a lot of things I've missed out on that I was looking forward to. And, you know, it's really hard ending with no in-person services. You know, there's been a lot of disappointments this year. And also as I've been thinking about next year and moving on and making my plans there, I've really had to wrestle with giving over command of my life to God and quite consciously go, okay, this is a mess, but I'm going to really work hard to try and trust that God is in control and that I can trust him with my life. And so that's been a real roller coaster growing in that in the last year. But, you know, also a really helpful area of growth for me to, yeah, give up control to God and to be okay with things being different.
Yep.
What about you, Anton? What's a way that you have grown in your understanding or love or appreciation of Jesus and the gospel in, I don't know, the last little while? Doesn't have to be the last 9 years.
Yeah. One thing that I have really had to work on in my understanding about God in particular is the doctrine of Scripture, the doctrine of the Word of God. What does God say about how he speaks? It's something that I wish I had paid more attention to at Moore College. But the good thing about Moore College is that it equips you to be able to investigate things for yourself afterwards. So even though I used all the skills that I've been taught to investigate the Bible to see what it says about God's words. I was really challenged here at Christchurch to think through what is the Word of God, where can we find it, and how, and what's it do for us, particularly when people would love to hear God speak outside of the Bible, like they'd love some sort of experiential, like, you know, we're talking to each other so I can experience hearing you, or, you know, some sort of gut feeling or something like that, like having God, you know, speak to us in some way through prayer or something like that. A lot of people would love that experiential version of hearing God speak, but God doesn't promise to speak like that. And I had to study the Scriptures to see what they, you know, did in the past, but you know, doesn't promise to do that in our Christian lives, because he doesn't need to, because he sent Jesus. So two passages in Hebrews chapter 1:1 says, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. So that's kind of lots of different experiences, from a direct word from God to through a prophet or through even a donkey. Anyway, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And so Jesus, as the ultimate Word of God, it's a testimony to Jesus that is where God speaks now, both through the account of Jesus' life in the Gospels or through his authorized ambassadors, through the apostles, the rest of the letters of the New Testament. That's where God promises to speak, through his Son, as the Bible written down. So we've got the Old Testament pointing to Jesus and showing us him, and we've got the New Testament with the life and words of Jesus and the implications of that through the apostles. And so to trust in the Bible as the place to hear God speak is a big act of faith, but that's trusting God, you know, taking God at his word.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And so in Hebrews, later in Hebrews, Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. So the Word of God, the Bible, is active. It doesn't, it's not passive, but it does work in our lives.
Yeah.
We may not experience a sensation when that happens, but we will still experience God at work in us as we let him speak to us through the Bible.
Yeah, I think, you know, I really resonate thinking about that as I have, you know, been being a growth group leader for ages and now studying the Bible. There is an element that you actually really do see the living nature of the Word of God, and you come to passages that are super familiar that I've written an essay on or something, and there's still a way that it convicts you or something that stands out to you that's different. And, you know, like you never really get bored of reading the Bible because it is living and active, and actually God can work through different things and different aspects at different times. And that's really exciting.
Yeah. But we have come to the time that you've all been waiting for. You've had to sit through our reflections just to get,
just to get to this.
The final blank space of the 645 pod.
Yeah, which we will have to keep secret for a few weeks because this is coming out a couple of weeks after we release this.
So, we could schedule a celebrational
post.
Yeah. Anyway, so in the past of, you know, in our three seasons of blank space.
I thought you were going to go back to Hebrews and take the past through the prophets.
Yes, hasn't been. Well, it's been close sometimes.
I feel like season one, I ended up close. Yes. Like I caught up, but I was very behind.
Yeah. And season two, that was
I didn't even get close. That was a real disaster.
But season three, not just in with a fighting chance, but in the lead, Simon.
Yeah, in the lead. But we're both doing terribly. So, you know, we've had seven episodes and us two an episode. And you are on 5 of a possible 14.
It's not great, is it?
And I am on 6 of a possible 14. Yep. So, look, I am 1 point ahead.
Yep.
But I think we're both losers ultimately.
Anyway, let's see how we do the final. So, the final is it's 4. So, remember, Blank Space is from a board game that is called Revelation.
That I've beaten you twice at.
I know, you're very good at the board game. Yeah. I don't know what happens when we get on the podcast. And 4 categories, so we will have a question from each category to ask one another. So 4 points up for grabs, which will almost double my score if I get them all right.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So you could.
Anyone's in this.
Also, okay. Did you just look at the side that I was going to ask you questions from?
No, I didn't.
I saw you glance.
I did. Yes, I will turn the page now.
Great.
I glanced, but I didn't look. But it's a new page now. So
yeah, great. So Anton's definitely not cheating.
Okay.
I was worried that he might.
You should go first because otherwise you'll get too far ahead.
In what body of water was baby Moses' basket placed?
The Red Sea / Sea of Reeds, depending on the translation.
Incorrect. The Nile River.
Oh, of course it was. That was a dumb answer.
I know. I thought you'd get that one.
That was a dumb answer. How could I get that wrong? Anyway.
Look, we've said that multiple times through this season.
too cocky. Okay. According to Ezekiel, what would the Israelites do with their silver and gold in the day of their judgment?
What would they do with it? Look, I don't know for sure. There's lots of options that would make sense to me. Like, maybe they'll cling to it to, like, hold on to it. Or maybe they'll throw it away. I feel like they're the two things. Or melt them down to make weapons. That's another thing. They'll throw it away. They'll get rid of it on the day of judgment.
That's right, Simon.
Hey.
Well done.
So good.
So, put in your score.
Oh yeah, I'm on 7 now.
No, not that one. Because that's the summing bit. Put it up in the column above.
Oh,
undo,
right.
Undo. No, you need to undo. There we go.
Okay.
It's called a spreadsheet. Nice. Okay. Oh, it's hard to come back from here though.
I've come back from worse. So,
I don't know. Anyway, go for it.
Who asked God to forgive Israel's sin or else blot him out of God's book?
Is it Abraham, Moses, or Paul? My gut says Paul, but I don't think it is. Moses.
Yes! Oh. I was concerned that you were going to go with your gut then.
That was a must. That was a must-win question there.
Yeah.
So, which Jewish brother did Nehemiah question about the state of Jerusalem?
Which Jewish brother? What? As in the 12 tribes brothers? Look, my guess is to go with one of the 12 tribes brothers, because I can't think of any other brothers in Nehemiah. So, I'm going to go with Judah.
No, it's one of Nehemiah's brothers. Hanani.
Yep.
Not expecting you to get that one.
Yeah, was not going to get that one.
Yeah.
So I don't feel bad about it.
Okay, so still 1 point. I can't believe I didn't get the Nile. Anyway.
Yeah.
So obvious.
On which part of the doorframe was the blood to be put on Passover night?
I feel like it's going to have technical names. That's the top and the sides.
Look, you can take a top and the sides. You are correct.
Yes.
So we are now even. 7-7
You've got a question there. You're a question ahead. To what animal is the devil compared in 1 Peter 5?
Oh, a roaring lion.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a must-get question. This is the last one for me.
Yeah.
Lose this, it's all over.
Yeah. How many virgins in Christ's parable went to meet the bridegroom?
Oh, no.
What's the parable? Which parable? There's lots of parables with virgins and things. Oh, because some of them, I'm assuming it's the one with them, some of them forgetting the oil. So can you read it again?
How many virgins in Christ's parable went to meet the bridegroom?
Yeah, because some of them didn't meet him because they forgot the oil. They didn't. They weren't ready. So, how many? 7?
It was incorrect.
Oh, no.
It's the parable of the 10 virgins.
And so 5?
No, so there's 10 virgins.
No, but don't 5?
I don't know. The answer is 10. Do you want to check it? Matthew 25, verse 1?
I will. I believe the book. What is it?
This is the best part of Anton being a stickler for the rules. Matthew, he'll take it, even if it's wrong. Matthew 25, verse 1.
Yeah, it is the 10 virgins. I don't think there's a number. Oh, yeah. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise.
But I think they all go to meet the bridegroom, right?
The virgins who were ready went in with him. So, but while the others were on their way after buying oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour.
So it was 5 and 5. So yeah. Even if you had guessed.
Look, I'm not right. Yeah, I'm definitely
you're
not
wrong
right.
Either way, which is some kind of comfort.
Okay. Well done.
Well done. Win.
This is to seal the deal. This is, you know, how big is the victory here?
Yeah.
When Moses first appeared before Pharaoh, how long a journey did he request the Israelites might make?
Ooh, it was only short. I feel like it's either 2 weeks or 2 days. Like it's something along those lines. And I just really want to end on a correct point. I think it's 2 days. Give us 2 days. No, I'm going to go with 2 weeks. Give us 2 weeks. 2 days seems too short.
Well, it's incorrect.
Yeah, okay. Either way.
It was days.
Mm.
But 3 days.
Three? Oh, look. I was very close.
You were very close. I would have been more hilarious if you chose 2 days and you were one off. But
yeah, anyway. At least I was further off.
Look, do you know what? The good thing is, even though you didn't get the final answer,
yep.
You win blank space at season 3.
I win the last one.
Well done.
It's very exciting. I can look forward to celebrating this in a few weeks' time when everyone else knows.
Yeah. All right, last time. That is blank space.
It's blank space, and I won. Just don't forget it. Okay.
Well, okay. It's been wild.
This is it.
This is it.
This is the end of our last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of our time working together.
Yeah. So you could subscribe in case someone later...
Who knows?
You
know,
picks this up and does new things.
I'm sure it won't be as good as what we've done, though.
It's
never going to compare.
Ah, look. you can. Do you like things? Do you like podcasts?
Yeah, you can like our podcast page. That'd be nice.
Sure, do that.
Or say nice things about it. Share it with other people.
Yeah,
it's on the internet forever.
Hooray!
At least I won one round of trivia. You know.
That's what it all comes down to.
Not complete failures on the internet forever.
Thank you so much for joining us through this journey. Feel free to go back to season 1 if you tune in later.
Start again from scratch and enjoy.
I enjoy the progression.
1. That was fun. Enjoy seeing us get gradually better at what we're doing.
Yeah, we did the Fruit of the Spirit season 1.
Yep.
Then we did Hot Topics.
Yeah, Living for God.
Living for God, season 2, and then Difficult Doctrines. Season 3. So, check out some of the episodes you missed. But for now, it's goodbye. Bye.
See ya.